Well, good evening, everybody, to the, can everybody hear me? Just, yes, thank you. Hello, everybody. This is our, second class of, the Lord's, Koine Greek. That is the, language of, if I can call it, the New Testament scriptures. Some people have mentioned that we really shouldn't call it Old Testament, New Testament, but we won't get into that. Last time we met, we worked out of our text, that's what I'm going to call it, the textbook, which all of you should have. And last week we looked at the introduction and what the author of this book, of this text, Learn to Read New Testament Greek by Dr. David Black. We went over his thoughts in the preface from pages Roman numeral 7 through Roman numeral 14, and then we went into lesson 1 a bit, and we got to the end of the alphabet. And so what we're going to do tonight, in lesson number 2, is we're going to start at page 2. We're going to look over the alphabet again, okay? And then we're going to proceed on with lesson 1. I don't know how far we'll get, but hopefully we'll get through page 9. I'm not sure how far we're going to get. But then, you know, we're going to entertain any questions at the end of this session. We've got 26 lessons to go through, and so we're going to be here for a long time, for a while. But the object of this book, and you should actually, you know, a lot of this is going to be your own study. We're all adults here, and you know, learning how to write the Greek letters. That's something I can't teach you. You're going to have to, you know, do those yourself, of course. And, you know, like people that weren't here last time, they should read over the preface and what the author wants to accomplish with this text. I said last time, in my experience, this is the best learning text I've ever seen as far as the Koine Greek or the Lord's language of his of the scriptures speaking about the perfect sacrifice of his son, that is the New Testament scriptures. This is what they were written in, the Koine Greek. Koine means Greek of the common people. Koine Greek is probably in its purest form is probably lost today in the modern Greek world, but that's okay. That's what that does is that makes me feel that I'm learning something that's really excellent to know, and that's an understatement because learning the language of the Lord and in that He wrote His scriptures in is all the thrill that I need. So let's look at the alphabet, and I believe that there are pronunciations of the Greek letters that are wrong, as we have heard them in our lives. The reason for that I've come to the conclusion is that they're the lazy Western version of how to pronounce the Koine Greek letters. And I'm just going to point this out. So let's go to the alphabet, and let's have a word of prayer. First, it's always great. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the saints that have made it tonight. Truly we are saints of the Most High, and that's what your word has said. And we have salvation, and we have sonship adoption through the blood of Christ, which was foreordained before the foundation, or actually before the catabole, Bole of the world, which is the overthrow of the world. And we thank you for that. We thank you for choosing us out, which you definitely have. That's a fact. It's a reality. You cannot lie. That's what your word says. And we pray, Lord, that our endeavoring into your original language of your New Testament words, that you might bless this lesson to all of our hearts and minds, and only that, if nothing else, that we might understand the excellency of your original language, for we know that we're not trying to rewrite the scriptures, but we do know that through your original language, that a more fluid, a more expanded, a more a greater understanding will be had of your English translation of the New Testament. And we pray for your blessing as always, and we're always, let us always be thankful. In the name of our Lord and Savior and Head, Christ Jesus, amen. Now let's go to the alphabet, and we're just going to run through the alphabet again. Page 2, we're going to be reading the lowercase, or looking at the lowercase letters. If you look at page 2, you'll see that they have uppercase and lowercase letters. Well, the scriptures were all originally written in uppercase letters, which are called uncial letters, and with no punctuation, and in a number of columns. So if you would have got a hold of the autographs, that's what they call the original letters from the apostles, you would have seen their writing all in capital or uppercase letters in either two or three columns, and with no punctuation. And we can find there are what are called codexes out there. They have made copies of codexes, which are very early translations, or copies, I should say, very early copies of the autographs, written in about the 3rd and 4th centuries A.D. You can get copies of them. And what you'll find is they're written in the uncial, or the capital letters. But many of the modern Greek New Testaments that you'll find are written in the lowercase letters. So I think it's a good idea to learn the lowercase letters first, and then you can move on to the uppercase letters. So we're going to read the alphabet again and pronounce it correctly. And it's always good. I learned this from, I'd have to say, Eddie the Greek in Florida. He's not with us tonight, but Eddie the Greek, he used to live in South Dakota, and now he lives in Florida. I learned a lot of great things about the Greek from Eddie, and I communicate with Eddie periodically. He stated that it's an excellent idea to learn everything correctly, and no matter how much it pains us to pronounce every letter in every Greek form correctly, because that's how the Holy Spirit put it forth. So if we try to cut corners or pronounce things incorrectly because of laziness, we're not going to have the ultimately true pronunciation of God's New Testament word, if that makes sense to you. It makes sense to me. So here we go. The first letter is Alpha. It's not Alpha. It's Alpha. Next one is Beta. It's not Beta. It's Beta. Next one is Gamma. It's not Gamma. It's Gamma. Alpha, Beta, Gamma. The next one is Delta. Then we have Epsilon. The next one is Zeta. Zeta. It's not Zeta, it's Zeta. Next we have Eta. Next we have Theta. It's not Theta, it's Theta. So far, correct pronunciation, if I can speak, is Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta. Now, you've probably heard it Zeta, Eta, Theta. Or you've heard it Alpha, Beta, Gamma. But that is not correct. It's Alpha, Beta, Gamma. It's not Zeta, Eta, Theta. It's Zeta, Eta, or Zeta, pardon me, Eta, Theta. So, let's say we were scholars in Koine, and we knew the correct pronunciation was Zeta, Eta, Theta. Zeta, Eta, Theta. And somebody came along and said, Zeta, Eta, Theta. You'd probably look at them as, I don't know, you'd look at them as kind of a little ignorant, not being brash or anything, but you would. If we constantly heard the pronunciation as being Zeta, Eta, Theta, Zeta, Eta, Theta, and then somebody came along and went Zeta, Eta, Theta, after a while that would seem very incorrect, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So, if we can pronunciate the Koine Greek alphabet over and over again as it truly was meant to be, you'll find that a lot of people, especially in the Western world, either are ignorant or they don't take the time, or they, you know, they slush through it because it's easier for them as Westerners to say, oh, Zeta, Eta, Theta, than it is to say Zeta, Eta, Theta, if that makes sense to you. After Theta, we have Iota. It's not Iota. It's Iota. It's not one iota, it's one iota. You know, you hear people say, oh, I didn't have one iota of a thought. No, it's not iota at all. It's iota. Then it's kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, like wax, like it says. It's omicron, not omicron. It's omicron, ah. Alpha and omicron are almost the same, but that's the way it is. Omicron. Then we have P. It's not pi, it's P. So already in our Western world, we have a number of these that are mispronounced, if you know what I'm saying. Even in the scholastic world, they say pi is equal to 3.14 something something something. But actually, it's supposed to be P. If that makes sense to you. After P, we have rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, like it says at the end there, taps, ps, ps, psi, and then omega is the long sounding O. Audio is cutting in and out here, according to Pseudomon. Is everybody okay? How is the sound? Okay, Gary's okay, Pseudomon is not. How is everybody? Good, good here. How about you, Barney? Okay, Bob's good. Pseudomon, I don't know. Good, good, good. Okay, Pseudomon. It could be that you're from Canada, Pseudomon. Sorry. I didn't want to, you know, with all due respect, Pseudomon.
It is raining.
Yeah, it could be you're from Canada. All right, so we're going to go over the alphabet again. And, you know, maybe, not that I'm anything, believe me, but maybe just getting a recording of this. And, you know, I've been looking at this stuff for a bunch of years, and I know some good guys that know the Greek pretty well, so that's what I said last time. I have some pretty good, Yeah, you're so close to Wisconsin. I have some pretty good authority behind me by what I'm saying. So, and I'm pretty diligent. Again, not to say I'm anything, but I really want to be correct in this for the Lord's sake, not my own, and for all of you guys. You know, so again, the alphabet: alpha, beta, not beta, beta, gamma, not gamma, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, not zeta, zeta, eta, theta, not theta, theta, iota, not iota, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, xi, like it says wax, xi, omicron, not omicron, omicron, p, not pi, it's p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. And what I would recommend is this, is that one thing that's really a kick for myself is, for one, I'd get, everybody should get a good Greek lexicon, which is another word for Greek dictionary. Get yourself a Freiburg or a Thayer's Greek lexicon, and then just peruse through it. You know, we're not under any big old pressure here, but, you know, somebody could say, well, reading the dictionary, that sounds like something that's for eggheads or something. But yeah, that's what we are. We're eggheads for the Lord. And what you should do is just look up, peruse through there, look at alpha, and look at words, or not words, look at forms. Last week, pardon me, I made the mistake again. Quit laughing, Diane. Last week, I want to tell you a truism. There are no Greek words in the New Testament. There are either Greek roots or there are Greek forms. And this is something else that Eddie the Greek drilled into my head. There are no Greek words. Word is an English word. There are Greek forms which come from Greek roots. So, right, that's very good. Now, even though this textbook will refer to Greek forms as words, just ignore that. There's either forms, thanks, Gary, or there are roots. And there are Greek roots, and from Greek roots come many forms. Get that stuck in your head. And because if you want to be correct for the Lord, which we all do, that's what we're doing. We're being correct for the Lord. Greek roots or Greek forms. So there are no Greek words. So let's continue on page 3. Under the alphabet, it says, it states this. Note that gamma is pronounced as a hard G, as in gift, never as a soft G, as in gem. However, before kappa and xi, or another gamma, gamma is pronounced like an N. And, you know, this might sound confusing, but there's a really good example in the next line. Note the word angelos. Angelos. Angel is pronounced angelos, not agelos. Okay, so go back to the Greek form where it reads alpha, gamma, gamma, epsilon, lambda, omega, sigma. And it's not pronounced agalos, it's pronounced angalos. Alright, does that make sense to you? When two gammas are together, or where you have a gamma and a kappa, or where you have a xi and a gamma, there's an N sound in there. All right, now, just that's a real good feather in your cap to understand that. It's not agalos, it's angalos. Okay, let's go on. Did you notice that sigma has two forms? All right? It's written sigma at the end of a word, and that sigma is called the final sigma. And on the next page, in two pages, we're going to see the writing of the what's called the minuscule or the lowercase form of the Greek alphabet. All right, so we have a sigma here that's the lower, what they call the final sigma. And then you have another sigma that looks like a round circle with a little tag on it. And in other positions, this sigma occurs, like in the word apostolos. You'll notice that in the word, or in the form, pardon me, I made a mistake again. See, I'm a chumpy Westerner. In the Greek form for the word apostle, the English word apostle, the Greek form is apostolos. And you'll notice there's two sigmas in the Greek form apostolos. There's one in the middle of the word, and that's kind of like the O with a little tag on it. And then there's a sigma at the end of the Greek form apostolos that they call the final sigma. And that is true. The final sigma form is called the final sigma. In ancient Greek, keep on reading, the letter chi was probably pronounced like the CH in Scottish. Lach or German Bach. Since this sound does not occur in the English, the chi sound in chemist may be used instead. So, the third letter from the end of the Greek alphabet is chi, like chemist. That's what that's saying. When you have chi, psi, omega. Chi sounds like chemist. Alright, almost like K. So, you have kappa and chi. They sound similar. And that's going to happen in the Koine Greek. And don't let it throw you. All right? Let's move on because we gotta keep on moving. All right? The Lord doesn't like slackers. I just threw that in. Okay, Greek phonology or morphology. And I wanted to state this, that each one of these lessons is a building block. And this lesson number one is very, very important for you guys to get down in your minds. Very important, because if you don't know the Greek alphabet, you're going nowhere. And as I said, you should get a Greek dictionary, and it's going to be a thrill, I'm going to tell you. When all of a sudden you start seeing Greek forms or roots, become familiar with them, and all of a sudden you look in a Greek New Testament and you see a form that you know and you go, bango, hey, I know that form. I know the meaning of that. That's a thrill. It is. It's a thrill in the Lord. And, you know, that might sound boring to some, but who cares about them? To me, if we can look into a Greek New Testament and we can see forms in there that we understand, that's a thrill. And what we're going to be doing is building on that, building on that, building on that, until when we get done with this text, you'll be able to open up that Byzantine text, and you'll be able to understand it 80%. Now that's a goal, isn't it? And that's our goal. That's our goal, to get through this text. And as we go, though, if you guys get into this on your own, it's going to be helpful. Believe me, it will, and you'll be thrilled as you do it. And listen, if a 21-year-old in the world can go to college and learn this and maybe not even be a believer, we can learn it. Believe me, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can learn this well. And and the Lord, I'm sure, is smiling at us for our endeavor. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. Okay, page 3, Greek phonology and morphology. Again, this lesson 1 is very important. After we get done tonight, you should, on your own, do things on your own. Go over this lesson again and again, and because this is all very good. And as I we stated last week, this professor, I know, is a believer, and he formulated this text after the New Testament, and he's a believer. So that's what makes this one even the more precious. And he's building in our Greek channel of our mind all the time. He's building in the thought that we're going to know the Lord's Scriptures better. And you're not going to find many Greek texts like that. I know I've seen a number of them. So, okay, the Greek sounds represented by the letters of the alphabet are called phonemes, from phoné, the Greek form meaning sound, phonemes. Roughly speaking, phonemes are the smallest element that contrast with each other in a phonological system of language. In English, the words pig and big are distinguished from each other by the phonemes P and B. So in the Greek, you have similar phonemes. Likewise, kappa and key are different phonemes because they affect the meaning as like this. The Greek form eke means there. The Greek form eke, which is pronounced the same but is written with a key instead of a kappa, or kappa, pardon me, I make mistakes, bear with me, is written with a key instead of a kappa, means he has. So just in the difference in one phoneme, that is a kappa to a key, you have the difference in meaning from there to he has. Okay, so Greek, like the English, can be very subtle, so we have to build a mind's eye to looking at these roots. And you have to be, at least in the beginning of learning, you have to be real keen. Take it slowly. Be sharp. Get things correct. Get things correct. Because if you slosh through things like the alphabet or like these other lessons, you're going to get things wrong from the start. So if you're pretty, want to be pretty sharp, like all of you are in the Scriptures, you're not going to go sloshing through God's Word. Well, it's the same with his original Koine Greek. You don't go sloshing through it. You have the eyeballs of an eagle. You be very keen. So here we learned about two Greek phonemes that, you know, you can look at the Greek form and they're almost alike, but they're different just in two letters. And it means all the difference in the world. Continuing on page 3, it says, similarly, in Romans 5:1, one phoneme makes the difference between we have, which is ekomen, peace with God. We have peace with God, and the English words we have is translated by ekomen, and let us have, turn the page, which is ekomen, with a key, peace with God. Let's go back and do that again. we notice that in the first, it's actually ekamen. I mispronounced it. Pardon me. Let's go back over that again. Page 3. All right, just bear with us. This is really important. In the first Greek form, an omicron is used. Do you see that? On page 4, an omega is used in the middle of that Greek form. All right, so let's go over that again. And again, you're going to have to sit back and go over this on your own. But it's great stuff because we are learning awesome building blocks, really, believe me, for the Koine Greek. Let's go back, page 3. Similarly, in Romans 5:1, one phoneme makes the difference between we have peace with God, and that's the Greek form ekumen, using an omicron. Do you see that? And let us have peace with God. So we have peace with God, ekumen with an omicron, and then we have let us have peace with God with an omega, ekumen. One means we have peace with God. The other one means let us have peace with God. Very subtle, but very important. All right? And you're going to see the Greek form ekumen and the Greek form ekumen in God's New Testament Greek. Page 4. Phonemes, then, are sounds that speakers of a language... Go back. Phonemes, then, are sounds that speakers of a language know to be meaningful parts of the language. Phonemes generally combine to form what linguists call morphemes. Okay, so when you combine phonemes, you get morphemes, which comes from the Greek form morphe, meaning form. So phonemes combine and make up morphemes. Okay, and you'd say, man, this sounds like it's getting kind of complicated. Well, what about the English language? Isn't that complicated? Wouldn't that be complicated to somebody from China? So you're going to have to pray to the Lord and pray for strength and pray for energy to go over this and get this down. But you get these building blocks down, and believe me, you're going to have really some keen joy in this. I'm not kidding. Morphemes may be defined as the minimal units of speech that convey a specific meaning. Examples of English morphemes include the letter S at the end of words. For example, dogs, cats, and houses. Or ED at the end of words, occurring as past tense endings. Loved, hoped, wanted. So the difference between between love and loved, ED, has to do with a morpheme, with the morpheme ED. Well, similarly, Greek forms have these also. And ly, occurring as adverbial endings like badly, nicely, and hardly. The difference between hard and hardly. Well, the Greek language has similar morphemes, which makes sense. Now, you know, don't let the words phonemes and morphemes throw you. Just go over it, get used to it, don't be afraid of it. You know, don't cower away from it. Just embrace it and learn it, really. Because, you know, I look at phonemes and morphemes and my mind starts getting, like, wired out. Oh, no, morphemes, phonemes, this is all too much. No, just don't let it throw you. It has to do with understanding Greek forms and the Greek language. So don't let it scare you. Don't freak out about it. Just embrace it. So examples of going back of morphemes in the Greek are the S at the end of English words that would tell you that it's plural. The ED at the end of English words that tells you that it's in the past tense. These are English examples, but, you know, like I said last week, eventually we want to avoid English, but I think initially this is helpful. Or the ly at the adverbial ly at the end of English words that tell you a specific meaning of the word in English, that is. Just as a knowledge of English morphemes enables us to understand the difference between friendship, friendliness, unfriendly, so an understanding of Greek morphology will aid us in the knowledge of Greek form meanings. You are not expected to master Greek phonology or morphology in these 26 lessons. And you guys could be like breathing a sigh of relief. But, you know, the Lord knows what's in your mind, so, you know, He might, chastise you for thinking that. But, still, it says the benefits of implementing a linguistic approach, even at the introductory level, far outweigh the disadvantage of ignoring it altogether. So what Professor Black did is, even though you won't have to really deal with a lot of morphemes or a lot of phonemes, he at least mentioned it here, and I think it's good. As a matter of fact, before I read this, I didn't know what a phoneme or a morpheme was. So it taught me something, not only in the Koine, but also in the English language. And, you know, I don't feel ashamed of that at all. You know, we're all becoming linguistic giants here. All right, Greek vowels. Are you all with me yet? Has anybody gone to sleep yet? Well, you know, the Lord knows what's in your minds and your hearts, okay? All right, Greek vowels. And here again, you're going to have to... Yes, thank you. Thanks, Bob. You're going to have to do your own homework. You're going to have to be diligent in this, just like you are in the Scriptures. Otherwise, it's not going to work nearly as well as it could. Believe me, still awake. Thanks, Sudamon. Great. Believe me, you guys get into this, and all of you guys are smart men and women. I know you guys. All you guys have the capabilities of going through this book. You want to go farther ahead? Go on ahead. You want to study lessons ahead? Don't get too far. Alert. Don't get too far don't go too far ahead where you might start getting mixed up, though. You learn the basic building blocks. It's like, let's say if you were becoming boxers and you had to learn to jab. You had to learn to jab, 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 jab. That's what boxers do. Then you learned a right straight. Jab, right, jab, right, jab, right. You know champions do? They jab, jab, jab 1,000 times a day. You know, jab right, jab right, jab right. Seriously, the best guys in the world do it thousands and thousands of times over. Best football players, thousands and thousands of times over, do they catch and go out for the same, where they go out for a pattern on a pass. They do it over and over and over and over again. And that's what you gotta do. And sorry to say, sleeping in the Greek. There you go. Put it on tapes. Pop it on your head. You know, but seriously, if you do that, You're going to be like a Jerry Rice. He does things over and over. The best receiver ever in the National Football League. He just did things over so much that it was sickening. The Greek vowels. And, you know, we've learned things already that we didn't know. I know that. As in English, the Greek letters may be divided into vowels and consonants. Vowels are produced by exhaling air from the lungs. Okay, I didn't know. Greek has 7 vowels, all right? This is what you should know. Alpha, epsilon, eta, iota, omicron, upsilon, and omega. 7 vowels. Again, alpha, epsilon, eta, iota, omicron, upsilon, omega. 2 of these are always short, epsilon, omicron. 2 are always long, eta, omega. Just understanding so far what we've read, you'll be able to pronounce Greek forms. If you get the alphabet down, these vowels down, you'll start being able to look at Greek forms and knowing how to pronounce them. That's awesome stuff. Believe me, you'll get a kick out of it. You'll look at a Greek form. Even if you don't know what it means, you can pronounce it. And that's awesome because you start out that way. You look at ulogetas. That means praise. It means we find that in Ephesians 1:3. Ulogetas. That means praise the Lord. And even though you might not know what it means, you'll look at the Greek form and you'll know how to pronounce it. And from there you build on that. You build on that. Then you can look at in the Greek lexicon for that form. And you can say, well, I know how to pronounce this form. Let's see what it means. And, by the way, something came to my mind. The book that we go to that has all the verses in the Bible. What is that? A concordance. Yeah, the Strong's Concordance, and then the Strong's Concordance has within it a Hebrew lexicon and a Greek lexicon. I consider them to be foundationally good, but I think, with all due respect to the Strong's Concordance, I believe that you should add to it another lexicon, at least one. Part of that, why that is good, is because the Greek lexicon that you buy will have bigger characters in it. The Strong's Concordance, those words are really small. And then the definitions there are limited because of space. It's a good idea, with all due respect to the Strong's. I'm not putting it down at all, whatsoever. It's a tremendous work. Without the Strong's Concordance, things would be a lot more difficult for all of us. It's an awesome work. But the dictionaries in there, the lexicons in there, it's better if you get a Greek lexicon to go with it. You'll have a more expanded definition of the Greek form or root. And what's more, the words or the forms, pardon me, will be bigger. They'll be easier to see. So I've said that, and I know that to be true. With all due respect to the Strong's Concordance, I know that what I'm saying is a helpful thing. Believe me. Let's go on. Okay, we read that two of the Greek vowels are always short. Epsilon and omicron. We're in the middle of page 4. 2 are always long, eta and omega. And 3 may be either long or short, alpha, iota, and upsilon. Hence, the tone value of alpha, iota, and upsilon can be learned only by observing specific Greek forms. Sometimes two different vowel sounds are combined in one syllable. This is important. Another important building block is called the diphthong. This combination is called a diphthong from deep thongos. Oh, deep. Actually, that should be deep thongos. That's how you pronounce that. Deep thongos. Having two sounds. Greek has seven common or proper diphthongs. In the English, they don't pronounce a diphthong. They pronounce a diphthong. In the Greek, though, it's diphthongos. Diphthongos. Greek has seven common proper diphthongs, and it looks like Pseudomon is having trouble. Sorry to say. Sorry, Pseudomon. Yeah. Greek has seven common or proper diphthongs, four which end in iota, and three which end in upsilon. Let's look at them. And what I'm going to do is take your hand, and on this next table below you, here comes Pseudomon again, on this table below you, put your hand over the last two columns so that you only have the two left columns exposed. Diphthong and pronunciation. Do you understand what I'm doing? Cover up where it says example and definition with your hand, because it's important for you to learn the diphthong itself and its pronunciation first. I was looking this over myself, and in my mind, having those other two columns visible might be a little confusing at first. So when you learn these diphthongs, take your right hand and cover up the last two columns in this table on page 4. All right, everybody with me? We're going to learn these diphthongs. The first diphthong is alpha iota, and it's pronounced I, as in aisle. All right, alpha iota, pronounced I. The next diphthong is epsilon iota, pronounced A, as in 8. So we have I, A. Next diphthong is omicron iota, pronounced oi, as in oil. So we have I, A, oi. Next diphthong is upsilon iota, pronounced we, as in sweet. So we have I, A, oi, we. Next diphthong is alpha, upsilon. Alpha, upsilon, I should say, which is au, as in Faust. Going back, we have I, A, oi, we, au. Very important, believe me, because these building blocks will be seen in your New Testament all over the place. Next diphthong is epsilon, upsilon. Epsilon, upsilon. It's u, as in feud. Going back, we have I, A, oi, we, ow, oo. Last diphthong we have is omicron upsilon, as in soup. Ew. Well, actually, going one up, we have epsilon upsilon ew. It should be ew, as in feud. Ew and oo. Ew and oo. So we going back up, we have I, A, Oi, We, Ow, Ew, Oo. Alright, now, it might seem kind of ridiculous to you, but this is Koine Greek. One more time. I, A, Oi, We, Ow, Ew, Oo. Those are the seven proper diphthongs, and you'll see them. Now you can take your hand off of the two columns and you'll see the examples. And you'll see examples of Greek forms right away that you've been dealing with for years. Take a look at the first diphthong, alpha iota, pronounced I. We see that in the Greek form ion. 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 Actually, is what I own. See, we're going to look at the accent is over the omega. I own. I own. And we know this to mean age. Very important Greek form, isn't it? And we notice that the diphthong alpha iota is a major part of the word age. Well, translated into the English word age. Look at the next diphthong and its example. Very important Greek form. Epsilon iota is found in the word irene. Irene, or arene, I'm sorry. It should be arene. 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 That's how you pronounce it. I'm not going to get these exact every time, but I know it's right, so bear with that. It's arene. Arene. And that means peace. Very important Greek form. Arene. So all of a sudden we see that the importance of the diphthong epsilon iota in the word, or in the Greek form, meaning peace. The next diphthong, an example, omicron iota, oikos, oikos. That is the Greek form meaning house. Very important Greek form. Next Greek diphthong, upsilon, iota, is found in the Greek form huios, meaning sun. An extremely important Greek form to us in the dispensation of the mystery, being chosen, adopted sons of God. That's Diane and I's call, our call letter, huiothesion, which means sun placing or sonship adoption. So the Greek diphthong upsilon iota is very important in the Greek form huios, meaning sun. You see, you're starting to see the importance of what we're learning. It's awesome, folks. It is. Not because I say the words, just because, you know, I know how awesome our God is. I know how awesome His Word is. I know how much fun it is to learn about such things, and it's available. The next diphthong, the example, alpha, upsilon, is found in the Greek form autos. Autos, very important. It means self. You'll find that this Greek form autos is used when our dear Heavenly Father is talking about things of Himself. You'll find this in the Greek New Testament, this form autos, a lot. The next diphthong, an example, epsilon, upsilon, is found, here it is, ulogetas, 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 meaning blessed or praise be, ulogetas. This is found in Ephesians 1:3, this form, ulogetas, and we notice that the diphthong, epsilon, upsilon, very important in the Greek form, ulogetas. So you've learned some really excellent Greek forms already, just by studying this table. The last one, omicron upsilon, u, is found in the very important Greek form, uranos, uranos, which means heaven, en tois epuranios, is in the highest heavens, or in the upon the heavens. that epuranios is a form possibly of the root, if Uranus is a root, of this root here, Uranus, meaning heaven. Very important Greek form in God's New Testament. So let's move on. But, you know, here again, if you just went over the introduction and the first four pages of this lesson one, and you got this down cold, meaning that you could recite the knowledge of these four pages or whatever in your sleep, you would know a lot already. You'd have to admit that from somebody that didn't know a thing about Koine. And we've got 25 and a half lessons to go. So let's move on. And again, you can't go over these building blocks enough. Just go over them and over them and over them again. And that's how you become a pro. Seriously. Verse 5. In some instances, the long vowels, alpha, eta, and omega, are combined with an iota. In this case, the iota is written beneath the vowel. And you'll see that you have an alpha with what's called an iota subscript. The next one is an eta with an iota subscript. And the next example is an omega with an iota subscript. Those are seen in that parenthesis. This book, I hope all you guys have good vision. If you don't, get a magnifying glass, man, because, you know, those iota subscripts there, you know, I got pretty good eyesight up close, and they're pretty small for me. So I hope you can see those. Is everybody with me? Page 4. Just give me a yes. Somebody. Are you guys alive? Somebody say something. Why? Okay, good enough. All right. And is called an iota subscript. Since iota is not pronounced, and you're going to see Greek forms with these iota subscripts. So now, when you look at your Greek New Testament, you're going to see forms that have this little squiggle under vowels, and you're going to know what that is. You're going to say, hey, man, I know that that's an iota subscript. And people are going to say, man, you're brilliant. Right? Yes. Hey, it's great. It's great. Believe me, it's great stuff. Since iota is not pronounced in these vowels, these combinations are often referred to as improper diphthongs. Several forms containing an iota subscript are found in the opening verses of the Gospel of John, which are used in the exercises to this lesson. And I'm not going to go to those exercises yet, but an iota subscript are seen in these Greek forms. Arche, auto, te, Scotia. All right, you see the iota subscripts there. Under the eta in arche, under the omega in auto, under the te, under the eta, that is, in te, and under the alpha, or the alpha, pardon me, in scotia. Scotia. As far as the Greek consonants, I'm going to let you go over that on your own. It talks about breathing a lot. I don't think we have to spend time doing that. So, where it says 5, Greek consonants on page 5, I want you to go over that yourself. We're going to drop down to number 6, the use and formation of Greek letters. All right? You all with me? Just give me another something. Y, yes, C. Yeah, okay. C. Number 6, the use and formation of Greek letters. Gamma, Y. All right. you're going to have to do this on your own. You're going to, well, let's read. Why? You guys are funny. The Greek uppercase letters are the oldest form of the Greek, Koine Greek letters. And that's what I told you. They're called uncials. Uncials. So the autographs, that's what the muckety-mucks or the supposed scholars call the original writings of the apostles. They're called autographs. So if you're ever perusing through some sort of Koine Greek book or something, and all of a sudden some author says, oh yeah, and the autographs, what he's talking about is he's talking about the original letters that the apostles wrote, which are non-existent, except for a couple of chunks of the Gospel of John. Other than that, the original autographs have never been found. Okay? But the original autographs and many of the earliest copies of those autographs are written in the uppercase or uncial Koine Greek. Again, the Greek uppercase letters are the oldest form of Greek letters. They are found in ancient inscriptions and are used in modern printed books to begin proper nouns, paragraphs, and direct speech, where English would use quotation marks. Greek sentences do not, however, begin with capital letters. Well, I could take issue with that, but just let's keep on going. The lowercase letters, which we've stated we should learn first, get those down cold first, are therefore of greater importance than the uncials or the capitals and should be mastered first. The following diagrams show you how to form Greek lowercase letters. All right? You're going to have to go over this yourself. With this one exception, where they have this line underneath the minuscule lettering, it should be raised a bit. Because, okay, what I want you to do, I would want you to, on your own, write out the complete alphabet of the Greek lowercase letters, but when you write them on a line, you should bring that line, like let's say where you see alpha, the first line of these Greek letters begins with alpha and ends with nu. Do you see that? Do you see that? Anybody? Yes. Do you see that long underline below them? Yes. Well, that line below the letters should be right underneath the alpha and the nu, so that the little tag coming out of the beta and under the gamma, do you see that? And go down to eta, it should be under that line. Does that make sense to you? You take this line and you put it right underneath the letter alpha. Draw it all the way to right underneath the nu. And see, you're going to get little tags from the beta, from the gamma, from the zeta, from the eta, and from the mu that are underneath that line a little. Does that make sense to you? Yes. Does it make sense to everybody?
Like the English P and Q.
Yeah, like when you write the English P and Q and G, there's part of the letter that goes under the line. Well, why this guy drew this line here, I don't know why that is. The same when we look at the next line. The next line begins with Z and it ends with omega. Well, you'll notice you should take that line, and it says Z in Omicron. You put that line right at the base of the Omicron and right at the base of the Omega. And you'll notice that there is going to be a little tag of Z, of Rho, of the final Sigma, of Phi, Chi, and Psi that go below the line a little bit. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you, Gary? Does that make sense with all of you? Because, does that mean yes, Gary? Yes. All right. And see, you could find this elsewhere, like in the Companion Bible or something like that. You'll find some Greek forms with the minuscule lettering, and you'll notice that on some of the letters, there's little tags that go below the line, which is a little misrepresented here. All right? But what you should do is you should write out this minuscule or lowercase alphabet again and again and again. And then you take each letter, go into a Strong's Concordance in the lexicon there. Go into, get a lexicon, a Thayer's at least, and look up Greek forms and look at where all these letters appear. Really, get yourself immersed, your brain immersed in the Koine. The more you look at it, the more you write it, the more you see it, the more you pronounce it, you're going to love it. If you get into this, you're going to love it. You're going to love pronouncing it correctly, even though we all will make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. You know, the first Greek class I took was in 1980, and I still make mistakes. Love it or leave it. You're always going to make mistakes, but the more you just drown yourself in it, you're going to get proficient in it. It's going to become just like secondhand to you after a while. You're going to see Greek forms. Bang, huios, you know that means sun. Bang, you're gonna love that. I know it. I know all you guys and women. Let's go on. It talks about not lifting your pen. Well, you know, that might be true for some of these letters, but it might not be true for some, like P. Maybe you could do that without lifting your pencil, but I'm not sure. Or, you know, most of them you probably can. But, you know, practice these letters. I can't do that for you. You're going to have to do that for yourselves. Just write it over and over again. Get masterful at it. These letters that are written here, you know, they're a pretty good rendition. If you could write out the alphabet as you see it here, where you put that underline where I told you you should go, you're going to be, you know, that's pretty good. You'll almost be like draftsman after a while, you know? Okay, and then it says, be careful to distinguish the following pairs of letters. Phi, Psi, Nu, and Upsilon. You know, they're very close. What he's saying here is that the Phi and the Psi are very close. You notice that. And then the Nu and the Upsilon look very similar. And then the Nu and the Gamma, or the Gamma, pardon me, see, I made a mistake. The Nu and the Gamma look similar, except for the little tail. And then, of course, the Omicron and the middle used Sigma look almost exact, except for that little tag coming out of there, if you can see it. You know, if you can't see the lettering in this book, get yourself a microscope. I'll give you a name and a number. That was a stupid joke, you know. But you got to look closely at this. I hope that we're doing all right so far. Okay, and probably As for tonight, we're probably not going to even get finished with lesson one. But what I can do is, let me just say this. What I can do is we can go over, what I might do is we'll keep on going, but maybe we'll leave the exercises on pages 8 and 9 for next time. Okay, we'll just go over lesson one again, kind of like in part next time, and then we'll do the lesson at the end, the exercises, okay? And, you know, this will give a chance for, you know, let's say Pseudomon to study up a bit, or any of you, or Lynn, or anybody, any, all of us, you know. But now at least we've gone through some things where, at least I hope, I've given you a little voltage to use to get you going. Okay, let's look at another important part of Koine Greek, the breathing marks. This is really important. And, you know, these breathing marks are really small, so we're going to make sure that all you can see this, okay? But like I said, if you get a lexicon, there'll be a little bigger in there. Okay, number 7, breathing marks. Every Greek form beginning with a vowel or a diphthong has a symbol over it called a breathing mark. The rough breathing mark, which is like a little comma that the end of it points to the right. Can you see that? The rough breathing mark. It actually is a little comma that hooks off to the right. Indicates that the word is to be pronounced with an H sound. Are you guys with me? The smooth breathing mark, which is like a little comma in the air, where the hook of it hooks to the left, indicates that the word lacks this initial H sound, okay? So the rough breathing mark hooks off to the right. We'll see an example of this coming up. The soft breathing mark hooks off to the left, and you'll see this in a lot of forms. I think there's probably more forms with the soft breathing than with the hard, all right? Just in my experience. But once you start looking, again, once you start looking at these Greek forms, you'll notice this, and you'll be able to say, hey, I know that that's a hard breathing sound. And people say, you're a genius. For example, the form hen, which means one, is pronounced hen, like a chicken. Hen, do you see that? It has a rough breathing mark over the epsilon nu that hooks off to the right, and it's pronounced hen. And N, epsilon nu, with a soft breathing mark that hooks off to the left, means in. So just by a little mark, you could either have the meaning of one or the meaning of in. Do you see that? Is everybody with me? And N, meaning in, is pronounced N instead of hen. All right? Read this over again. Really important stuff. Really important. Might seem elementary, but it's very, very important. These exercises are seen already in that Byzantine text. The breathing mark is always placed over the second vowel of a diphthong. Example. Hey, look at this word. Ulagetas. We see it again. We notice that it is spelled epsilon upsilon with a soft breathing mark. It is not hulogetas, it's ulagetas with a soft breathing mark. Ulagetas, which means blessed or praise. Initial rho and upsilon always have a rough breathing mark, as in the Greek form hema, which means word. Well, I'm sorry. That should be Chrema. And you'll notice that it has a rough breathing mark over the ro. I hope you're not confused. Let's go back and read that line again. Initial ro and upsilon always have a rough breathing mark, as in chrema, which means word, and in hupakrites, which means hypocrite. All right, so going back, you'll see the rough breathing mark over those two forms, one over the rho and one over the upsilon. Chrema, which means word. Hupakrites, which means hypocrite. When used with rho, however, the rough breathing is generally not pronounced. So that would be rhema. When the initial vowel is a capital letter, the breathing mark is placed to the left of it, as in Abraham, and Hebraeus. Okay, just go over this again and it'll make sense to you more if it doesn't already. All right? Very important, though, those breathing marks. Very important. Greek punctuation. Although punctuation marks were not used in the ancient Greek, they are found today in all printed editions of the Greek New Testament. Greek has four marks of punctuation: the comma and the period, that correspond both in form and function to the English comma and period; the colon, and the question mark, which is seen in kind of like the English half a colon and the semicolon, correspond in function to the English colon and question mark, but differ in form, as you see. All right? Do you see that? The comma's the same. The period's the same. The colon in the Greek is only in the English half a colon, and the question mark in the Greek is like our semicolon. Since there is no punctuation in the early manuscripts or the uncials of the New Testament, the punctuation of the modern printed editions is often a manner of interpretation. Example of that would be John 1:3b through 4. I'm not going to go into that right now. Moreover, because Greek has no quotation marks in several New Testament passages, it remains uncertain where direct speech begins and ends. An example of this would be Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus in John 3. These and other problems of punctuation are best treated when encountered in the New Testament. Let me add this to it, that it has to do with context, and it has to do with the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with dispensational truth. So that we can use, would punctuation be moot? Not necessarily, no. I wouldn't say it would be moot. But I'm saying that with the help of the Holy Spirit, see, he calls it a problem here, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, and with us having the ace in the hole of dispensational truth, and the Holy Spirit, we have other helps that would help us in the interpretation of things. If you understand, like let's say when Jesus was on the tree and he said to the malefactor, "I say to you today that ye shall be with me in paradise." Remember that? Well, he didn't mean that malefactor would be with him in paradise that same exact day. What he meant was, "I say unto you today that ye shall be with me in paradise in the future," is what the Lord meant. And that all had to do with putting a comma in the correct place. Does that all make sense to you? Alright, so if we know that nobody was ever with the Lord in paradise that day back in AD 29, which we do know that, according to dispensational truth, we have a tremendous edge up on what that verse truly meant. That's an excellent example of what I'm talking about. So we can put the comma in the right place there. The Lord said unto the malefactor, I say unto you today, comma, that ye shall be with me in paradise, in quotations, in the future. And all of you would agree with that. But there are thousands, if not millions, of believers that believe that the Lord was saying to that malefactor that he was going to have everlasting life in AD 29, the same day that God died in the flesh. Now, what a difference, you know, but if you add all the tools that the Lord has given us in our toolbox, we can even sift through the Koine with some mastery, and that's a beautiful thing. So, what you'll find is that your knowledge, as the Lord has enlightened you in dispensational truth, will help you in the Koine. Isn't that awesome? And you gotta be saying, Yavol, that is awesome. Number 9, Greek diacritical marks. And diacritical marks are marks that differentiate between things, making things different so you understand them as they are. That's what a diacritical mark is. Modern printed editions of the Greek New Testament employ 3 different diacritical marks. The apostrophe indicates omission of a final short vowel before a word that begins with a vowel or a diphthong. It's like when 2 vowels come together. You'll notice that this di-a-tu, meaning through him, for dia. Atu. Okay, you notice that it's written without the alpha, and they put an apostrophe in there. Do you see that? That's called a diacritical mark because an alpha is taken out. That's seen in John 1:3. You could look it up. This process is called elision, from the Latin elido, to I leave out. Well, you know, these diacritical marks are, I guess they're important, so we'll go through them, but I wouldn't put these on the importance of punctuation, breathing marks, or diphthongs, but let's go through it. The diaresis, or what looks like quotes, occurs where 2 vowels that are normally combined to form a diphthong are to be pronounced separately. Well, I guess that's important. And here, as in the Greek form for Isaiah, it's pronounced Ice-as. No. Let's go over that again. The Greek form for Isaiah is pronounced Isaias. Isaias. It's actually 4 syllables. Isaias. You'll notice that in the next line there. Isaias. So apparently this diaresis is put over the diphthong of alpha and iota. Well, listen, I'm gonna let you go over that yourself. You know, I mean, that it's getting a little involved here with all of what we've gone through already. But you know, it's important. So just go over that as far as, you know, that's really important as far as how to pronounce Isaiah's name in the New Testament. It's 4 syllables and it has to do with the diaresis above the Greek form. Finally, the coronis, which looks like an apostrophe above, indicates a combination of 2 words, or 2 forms actually, with the loss of an intermediate letter or letters. This process of merging two forms is known as crosses, from the Greek form crosses, meaning a mingling, and is found in such English forms as I'm, you're, don't. In the New Testament, crosses occurs in a number of specific combinations, the most common of which is kago, for chi, and ego. That's very important. Chi and ego, and I. You can see that in John 1:31. And kakenos from chi ekenos. That's found, meaning and he, in John 6:53. Well, you know, that's getting pretty precise there. But, you know, I would have you all go over that, look up those verses, look up those forms in your Byzantine text, and again, you know, like, this is important for you guys to do this on your own. You're brilliant enough. We all got the smarts that's needed to do this, believe me. Don't cower from it. Embrace it. We're going to go into Greek accents, and then we're going to stop for tonight, all right? Because certainly we've got enough under our belts to go over and over and over. But again, I'm going to say this to you again. Can we use an interlinear? Sure. Can we use an interlinear? Yes. Just concentrate on the Greek, though. You know, concentrate on the Greek forms, Doherty. Concentrate on the Greek. Number 10, Greek accents. Printed edition of the Greek New Testaments use three accent marks. This is very important, because where the accent is tells you how to pronounce the Greek form. Very important, because we want to be Greek. Koine Greek masters. We are going to be, in this dispensation, Koine Greek masters. And I mean that. I mean that. I mean it to the point where I would like to have all of us, myself included, pronounce Koine Greek forms exactly the way the Holy Spirit wants us to. The more exactly we pronounce them, the more I believe and I feel within my heart that this is what's coming out of the mouth of God. All right? Seriously. The more exacting we are, it's like the apostles speaking it and the Holy Spirit speaking it into our heads correctly. So the more correct we are with these Koine forms and pronunciation, the closer to God the Holy Spirit speaking forth the word that we are. I really believe that, folks. I really do. Printed editions of the Greek New Testament use three accent marks. The acute, which is like a little dash to the left, the grave, which is like a little dash to the right, and the circumflex, which is kind of like a little, you know, a little circular thing. The importance of the accents for the study of the Greek is twofold. Accents occasionally distinguish between forms that are otherwise identical. An example of this would be A, with the soft breathing, meaning if, but A with a circumflex, you'll see that if you look really closely. Do you see that over the soft breathing? Does everybody see that? Just give me a yes, anybody. Does everybody see that? Yeah. The A with the circumflex over that soft breathing means you are. Now, what's the difference between if and you are? Well, tremendous. So, I mean, Koine Greek gets technical. You know, but, you know, the English is really whacked out too. Like thorough, like some of the words we have in our language are bizarre. They just are, to somebody coming in and learning English. One English word might have three different meanings. So we learned that as kids, so we can learn this. You know what I'm saying? And number two, accents to serve to indicate which syllable. This is really important. In a Greek form is to be stressed in pronunciation. Otherwise, it is possible to read the New Testament Greek without knowing any more about accents. In subsequent lessons, accents will be treated where relevant. For those with a special interest, and we should be, in learning the rules of Greek accentuation, Appendix 1 provides a detailed summary. So you guys should look at Appendix 1 and learn the punctuation marks, because they will tell you where to put the emphasis. Like, go up a paragraph. You guys go up a paragraph. Above where it says 10, the Greek accents. Right above there you have the Greek form kakenos. Now you'll notice that I pronounced that kakenos. And the kappa epsilon iota is where the accent is. Do you see that? Do you see that? There's an acute above the iota there. Do you see that? In the Greek form kakenos, above where it says the Greek accents. Do you see that? You're supposed to pronounce that kakenos, where the accent is on the epsilon iota. So to get this down correctly, you should really notice those accent marks. And I know there's little jots and tittles in this language, but you're going to have to get out your bifocals under high power, or else get out your visual miracle ear or whatever, and really get precise. We are going to become precision masters. And all I'm going to say to you in ending tonight is I'm going to say that I know all of you guys personally, and I know every one of you have a heart for the Lord, and I know what joy this brings to me, and I know for a fact that it's going to bring the same and will to you guys. And that's really why I'm doing that, is I feel in my heart that and plus I have a lot to learn too in the Koine, so this is for me as well as you, believe me. But I'm going after the joy. I'm going to go after the joy. That's what I'm after. So it's available. So it's available. So we're going to go at it. We're going to go after it. And you guys, I'll stress more. You guys practice, 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 and your joy will increase. And I thank you for being here tonight. And what we'll do in next session is we'll give lesson one, the final hurrah. We'll go through the exercises. So for next time, no problem. For next time, go over the exercises, number 11 on pages 8 and 9. Look those over. You have pronunciation exercises. And then you also have the paragraph on page 9. Look at that closely, because it can be tricky in there. And learn how to pronounce all of those Greek forms correctly. All right? And we're going to go over that. And believe me, you take this lesson one, and you go over it and over it and over it. And I guarantee that when you look at you'll never look at a Greek New Testament. You'll never look at an interlinear. You'll never look at Strong's lexicons the same again. Believe me, you shouldn't. From this point on, we are on the journey, and it's going really well. I just wish that, I see some people that aren't here that were here last week, and
3 weeks ago.
Or 3 weeks ago, I'm sorry. And that really bothers me, because I don't know what to do with that. And I do know this, folks. I do know this, folks, that I can't keep on going over the same thing 12 times. So we're going to keep on going, and like I told a bunch of you guys, this is like a college course. If you don't show up, you flunk. If you don't put the time in, you get a D. You know, so it's going to be sort of like that, so we have to be responsible. But, you know, I do know, heck, what, we are the loser, right? You know, I could get sick one session. You guys could get sick. That's why we're recording this, I guess. So, you know, I'm going to try to make things as available as possible. But for those who want to learn, you know, you can't keep the whole class back because, you know, people just want to show when they want to. We all know that. So there you have it. So what I'm going to try to do is Bob's got a conference coming up. Wait a minute.
Can they hear us?
Oh. April 8. Oh.
Yeah.
All right,
go ahead.
At any rate, I'm sorry, I guess I... Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Somebody nudges and knocked us out.
Somebody nudges... yeah, okay, what I'm saying is this, is that there are some people that were here 3 weeks ago that aren't here tonight. There are some people that might be here tonight that weren't here 3 weeks ago. What I'm saying to you is this. Yeah. What I'm saying is that bothers me because I don't know what to do. But this is what I'm going to do. We're going to continue on. If you didn't hear it, we're going to go over lesson one next time for the last time. We're going to go over the exercises on pages 8 and 9, and then we're going to go on to lesson two in the following session. And what I said is that we're going to treat this like a college course, somewhat. And we're all responsible to show or not. But I'm saying that I know things happen, people get sick, but that's why we're recording things. You know, we all have problems. You know, but that's why I might go over a lesson 3 times. But I think that's going to be the limit, and then we're going to move on. So, as I said, Bob's got an upcoming conference, but let's see, what is this, April 24th? April, May. What I'll try to do is I'll try to do another one of these in the middle or in the third week of May. So that, you know, so we'll be going over the exercises on page 8 and 9, figure in about the third week of May. And then Bob's going to, yeah, that sounds pretty good, May 26th around there. And then, you know, just put that tentatively in, yeah, I think they should be closer. Well, you know, I don't really know what to do with that. I'll put that in my mind, and we'll see how this progresses, Doherty. Okay.
I thought you gave her a lot of homework.
Yeah, but right now, too much time. Okay. Well, what I'm going to say is that at least right now, between now and May 26th or thereabouts, you guys got some good things to learn. So I'm going to say get about learning them, and we'll keep on going, all right? So thanks for being with me tonight. I really enjoy this. I look forward to it. I enjoy it. And I do know that the Lord is going to help us without a doubt. See you guys. Any questions?